So that's why we're talking about fruit, because St. Paul says that he likens what we should be like to fruit. He calls it the fruit of the Spirit, and that's because it grows. Fruit grows, doesn't it? And what we're talking about today is about things growing inside us that Jesus would like. You see, the idea of this passage that these lovely girls have just read is that we grow more and more like Jesus. That's what he's saying. Don't be like people who think about all worldly things all the time. Be people who are loving and joyful and kind to each other all the time, and so on. And he says, Jesus says, by the Holy Spirit, he'll help us to grow those things. And it takes time, doesn't it? It doesn't happen overnight. Has anybody ever tried to plant an apple seed? I know I have in the past. You don't get apples the next day, do you? It takes a long, long time. And so it is with this. Jesus says, I want you to be more like me. And then it's going to make a big difference to how we are in the world, isn't it? And how everybody is. But it takes time. And in fact, I think it takes more than a lifetime, really, to get to be that perfect, full of all those things. So what we're going to do now is look at one or two of these fruits that have been mentioned, and just see if we can understand a little bit more of what it's saying. And it starts off by love. That's the one that always starts, isn't it? It says, the fruit of the Spirit is love. Love comes first, you know, because all the other things mentioned, which we will talk about in a minute, are all part of love, about how we act in love. Without that incredible love of God that can come within us, we wouldn't be able to grow any of those fruits. We wouldn't become the sort of people that we want to be, really, in our lives. You know, in Greece, they have 7 different words for love. 7 different words, because love's different. You don't mean the same when you say, I love a Mars bar, as if I love my mum and dad, do you? It's completely different. But in Greek, they have lots of different words that mean different things. There's one for the love of man and woman. There's one for love of parents and children. There's one for your love of friends, and so on. Isn't that useful, that we can really say what we mean? But the one we're thinking about this morning has got an unusual word. You probably know it. You might know it. The word is agape. Have you heard that word before? Agape. Well, it's a good one to remember, agape, because what it is, it means God's perfect love, absolutely perfect love. It means no matter what anybody does to us, no matter how much they hurt us, no matter how much we don't like them sometimes, God helps us to get over all of that and to be able to love them and forgive them completely. You see, it's the way God loves us, isn't it? We've asked him this morning to forgive us. And he doesn't stand there and say, well, you did that, I'll forgive that. Or you did that, I'm not forgiving that one, that's a bad one. It's not like that. He says, if we confess our sins, he will forgive us, because he just loves us completely as we are this morning. We don't have to be different. He wants to help us to grow and be more like him, but he loves us no matter what. And that's the sort of love we're talking about. And we can have that sort of love growing within us when we know him. He's saying it's not about how we feel necessarily. It's about deciding to love like God. And then it's amazing how our feelings and everything can come in line with that. And God, by his Holy Spirit, helps us to do it. And you know, when we experience that love of God in our hearts, lots of these other fruits begin to grow. What about joy, the fruit of joy? You see, joy isn't just being happy. That's not what it means here, because, you know, that changes with the weather. We're quite joyful this morning because the sun's shining, aren't we? If it was pouring down, we might not feel quite as bright and breezy as we do, because it changes. Joy's not like that. It's not dependent on our circumstances. It's something much deeper within us that can only happen when we know Jesus and we know he's walking with us every minute of every day, and that we never need to fear or worry about our future, because we'll always be there and he'll always be helping us. It's very different from just being happy. There's a lovely story I read, and I know it's in the Alpha Course, because that's where I first came across it, of a man called Richard Wurmbrand, and he was imprisoned because he believed in Jesus. And he was tortured, and he was in prison for a long, long time. And listen to what he said. He said, "Alone in my cell, cold, hungry, and in rags, I danced for joy every night. Sometimes I was so filled with joy that I felt I would burst if I did not give it expression." That's a different sort of joy, isn't it? That's not just happy with the situation, because I'm sure he wasn't happy with his situation. It's about a deeper joy. And when St. Paul was in prison with Silas, he was being beaten, they'd been thrown into prison, they had chains on their hands and feet. They were singing hymns to God. It's different, isn't it? And the Holy Spirit helps us to have that deep knowledge of Jesus that can give us a joy. And peace is a bit like that, really. Again, it's not just a superficial peace, like I need some peace and quiet. I wonder how many mums and dads have said that. I know I certainly have in my time, I need some peace and quiet. It's different, it's about being peaceful inside, when everything around us doesn't feel like that. And there are times in our lives when everything certainly is not peaceful, but we can know this peace of Jesus in our lives. It's very different. People who have been ill have said how they've found a peace that they couldn't possibly have known. I know when Paul was in hospital once, and he had cancer several times, and he had to have another operation, and in the middle of the night he woke up, and he felt ill, and he felt awful, and he's saying to God, "Why? Why am I like this? Why is this going on and on and on? I'm not getting anywhere. Why is it happening?" And he just felt God say to him, "I'm with you." And that made a difference to how he felt, the peace in his heart. And I know when I went through a very difficult time in my life, I seemed to walk through it and help other people in it and be strong. And I thought afterwards, what's wrong with me? Am I not feeling? I was feeling. But God's peace was helping me and carrying me through. There's another man with a funny name called Epictetus, who lived in the first century, and he wasn't a Christian. And he said this, "While the emperor may give peace from war on land and sea, he's not able to give peace from passion, grief, and envy. He cannot give peace of heart, for which people yearn for more than for outward peace." And that's right, isn't it? It's about being peaceful within. And the Holy Spirit, when we ask him and work with him, can help us to grow that. And then patience and kindness, I put them together. 1 Corinthians, that lovely passage about love, says, "Love is patient and kind." Older versions of the Bible say long-suffering. You know, if you really love somebody, you don't keep track of what they do wrong. You go on forgiving and forgiving and forgiving and being patient with them and kind to them. You know, how many adults here get impatient in traffic jams? Oh, yes, there's quite a few nods going on. Somebody's pointing at somebody else. I think that's rather rude. But it's not easy, is it? You know, sometimes I get very impatient in traffic jams, and other times I feel really calm and quite, you know, well, there's a traffic jam, I'll just have to sit here and wait, you know. I know I'm better than I used to be, but I'm not perfect. And this is the growth, isn't it? About moving along, getting better at these things, getting more patient with each other, and about helping each other and being kind to each other along the way. And these are the sort of things that are growing in our lives when we know Jesus, when we're walking with him every day.
Okay, we're up to goodness. And we need to know really that love is the driving force for goodness. Those of you at school, are you good? Put your hand up if you're always good at school. One or two are a little bit hesitant, okay? You at the back there, how many of you were ever not good at school? Yes, one or two, yeah. When I was 13 years old, is anybody 13 here? No? Okay, that's let you off. I went to a boys' grammar school, and the headmaster there was about 6 foot, well, he looked to me about 6 foot 10 tall, and he was a big fella, and he always wore a black gown, and he often walked around with his cane, flicking his cane like that. So I didn't like him at all. And one day, me and three of my friends got on the wrong side of him, and he said, "Come and see me at 4 o'clock." And we didn't. We were too busy playing rugby. So the next morning in assembly, right, well, Easby and Jones and Wetherill, come and see me immediately after school. So we went to see him, and the first one went in and came out looking, and the second one went in and came out looking like this, and then it was my turn, and I went in, and he said, "Easby," because they didn't call you by the first name in my school, he said, "Easby, why have you been disobedient?" I said, "I don't know, sir, don't know." So he said, "Bend over." And he whacked me 6 times with his cane. Can you imagine it? They wouldn't do that nowadays, would they? No, they'd just tell you off. But that was a one occasion where I was bad. You know, a lot of people are only good because they fear the consequences of being bad. So I learned after that, I better not be bad, otherwise he'd whack me again. But that isn't goodness, is it? You might think to yourself, "I need some more money. I'll rob a bank." Oh no, that's not a very good idea, because if I get caught, I'll get sent to prison, won't I? That's not goodness. But goodness, we love people, and so goodness grows in us. We don't want to cause people to make mistakes, so we're good, and we encourage them to be good. This fits in a lot with kindness, I think, doesn't it? If we're kind, then hopefully goodness will follow from that. So, I ask you, is there goodness growing in you? I hope there is. I hope you'll allow the Holy Spirit to work in you and allow goodness to come. And then the next one is faithfulness. And this really means being loyal, being constant, being true to other people because we love them. This is so important nowadays, isn't it, that people know they can depend on you to do what you say. So, I was going to tell you a little bit about Sheila's dad. Sheila's dad was a scout leader for I don't know how many years.
Forever,
yeah. And when I came into the Cubs, he was the leader there, and when I became a senior scout, he was a leader then, and he went on and on and on. And he taught us, and he taught his family, I know, about being faithful. He says, if you're a scout, if you're a cub, and obviously if you're a guide or a beaver or a badger, then you need to be proud of it. And you need to be faithful. You need to come each week and join in the things that you do. You need to be faithful to your scout pack. You need to be faithful to the Queen. That's in the promise. And you need to be faithful to God. So the Bible tells us, let your yes be yes, and let your no be no. You need to mean what you say. So faithful is about having faith and having trust in other people, even though they may let you down. We need to pick them up and help them, because Jesus trusts you and me. We want to have faith in him, we want to have faith in ourselves, and we want to be able to have faith and trust in others to help them to grow in their faith. Two to go, gentleness. Jesus was probably the most gentle person who has ever lived. On one occasion, some ladies brought their little babies to Jesus, and the disciples said, "Go away, he's too busy." But Jesus saw, and he beckoned the children to him, and he just put his hand upon them, and he blessed them. When some very noisy people came to him who were deeply troubled, he spoke to them and said, "Be still. The Lord heals you." So he healed people, and he was gentle, and he was kind to people. The only time that he wasn't gentle was when he was dealing with things which are evil and things which were wrong. And then he would speak out very forcibly and say, stop! This is what you should be doing. So let us, each of us, ask the Holy Spirit to make us more gentle. And the last one is self-control. I wonder why St. Paul left that one till the end. Because that, with love at one end and self-control at the other end, embraces all the others. It's so important if we are to act more like Jesus. Children, I wonder if your mum ever says to you, your room is in a terrible state, go and clear it up. Yes, one or two hanging their heads. But you would just want to get on with playing on your machine, or you just want to go out and play football, or you just want to go out and play your friends. So you turn around and say to your mum, no, I'm not going to do it. That's not self-control, is it? What should we say? Yes? Well done. 10 stars. That would be the nice thing to say. That would be the self-control thing to you to say, wouldn't it? Because you can always play your games after, can't you? So we need to learn to control our moods and our tempers, our thoughts and our actions. And that's impossible without Jesus helping us, without the work of the Holy Spirit within us. But praise God that he loves us so much that he's willing to help us with these things in all that we do and all that we think and all that we say. And if we do go wrong, he's willing to forgive us. That's what we said at the beginning, wasn't it? Lord, please forgive us. So when we go wrong, we need to ask him to do that and to help us to have self-control and all these other things. And Sheila's going to come and finish us off.
If you remember right at the beginning, I said that love was the reason we could do all these things, the reason they could grow in our lives. And that's it. I just feel that without love, none of this can happen in our life, can it? That agape love of God, which is why I brought this. You know what that is, don't you? Yeah. A chocolate orange. I thought we'd rather have a chocolate one than an ordinary one, okay? I will share it out with everybody afterwards. I've got more than one, okay? Everybody can have a piece. But I'm not going to do it straight away because the guides are going to pray in a minute and that would be unfair to them to have to come up here with chocolate, okay? So I'm not being mean, I'm being sensible. But inside, what's inside this? Can you tell me? Who can tell me? Yeah, it's chocolate. Yes, I know it's chocolate. But there's segments, that's right, all segments of orange. And if you think of all these segments being all those fruits we've just talked about, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control, all of those, and then think of this wrapper right round it, orange, it's like the love, isn't it? Holding it all together. So every time you see an orange, remember the fruit of the Spirit, all those segments held together by love. The love of Jesus and the love that he puts in our hearts.